Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers get one against the Jets. Bill Belichick gets his first W as a college coach. And the Chiefs were very lackluster in their first week, the first week of the NFL season. We'll begin today's show with the Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter, certainly setting the tone for the season 6 seconds in by spitting on Dak Prescott and getting himself kicked out of the game. If you were the NFL head of discipline,
that's gotta be a record.
Are you suspending Carter? And if so, for how long? So they did say that, you know, he got fined $57,000 and he was served a one-game suspension, which he did in getting kicked out of that game. So he will not be suspended any further. Your thoughts on Mr. Carter, the fine human being?
That's a little bullshit. I'm sorry. You cannot hock a loogie on somebody and then walk away relatively scot-free. Well, apparently the precedent is in the Bill Romanowski situation. If you guys remember, Bill Romanowski hocked a loogie on J.J. Stokes, and he only had to pay a $7,000 fine. So I guess for inflation, that's how you get to 57 grand. So in my opinion, he got off extremely light. Extremely light. And he is lucky that the Eagles won. Like, if the Eagles did not win, this would be an even bigger issue. And he would look like even more of a putz. But he ends up dodging a bullet. Now, let's look across sports and instances of spitting. Roberto Alomar spit on an ump. Got 10 games. Luis Suarez just spit on a security guard. Got 6 Leagues Cup games plus an additional 3 MLS games. So 9 games for Mr. Suarez for hocking a loogie on a security guard. I'm hard pressed to say that this dude shouldn't have at least gotten one. Like, I don't care that Dak spit into his chin strap first. Because at the end of the day, he didn't spit on Jalen Carter. Right? It's one thing if Dak spit and actually made contact with Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter spit back on him. At that point, you suspend Dak Prescott too. That's fucking disgusting. Right? Think about where we were just a few years ago in the height of COVID. Right? You couldn't walk around without a mask on. You couldn't stand 6 feet. You couldn't stand less than 6 feet from somebody. And now we're just free balling it. We're just hocking loogies all over again. Like, you know, COVID never happened. And we are not concerned about germs whatsoever. So, I think one game would have been fine. I don't think the fine is enough. I mean, $57,000 is a good hit to the wallet. Now, is it a deterrent? I don't know. I really don't know. Because you're looking at Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter is not what we would call an angel in this league. He wasn't an angel coming out of college. So he's got a track record. And I think you need to kind of adjust for the track record. So I think he got off light. I think he got lucky. One game would have been fine for me. I get what the NFL is saying, that the ejection effectively served as the one game. I disagree. But clearly...
So then you want two games.
They're just gonna move on. Yeah, I don't count the ejection as a suspension. But I think that... No, you got ejected. You got kicked out of the game. If you get kicked out of a game in Major League Baseball, they don't count that game. You go before a disciplinary committee, and then you get a suspension. Like, you run somebody in hockey, you get a game misconduct, you get suspended. They don't count that game. Like, what kind of fuzzy math is this? What kind of fuzzy fucking math is this? I'm sorry. No, that's not how numbers work. That's not math. That's not how math fucking works. Give him a game check plus that fine. That motherfucker will never do it again. He'll swallow that spit. He will bring a handkerchief onto the field and, like, wipe his lips.
Yeah, I mean, spitting is pretty disgusting. I mean, it's really gross, and it's very demeaning. it's really low, you know, to spit on somebody. I don't know what he was really thinking. I mean, the game is just, we're just getting started here, man. Like, what did you think? Well, how did you think that was going to go there? You're like, oh, that's okay. No biggie. I mean, but like, how did you really think that was going to be? I mean, how did you not think? How do you think that was going to be received? Like, oh, you could just spit on another player? He's spitting right in his chest. It's not like he spit on the floor or spit on his shoes or in his pant leg. You spit right in his chest. Were you aiming for his face and you got it in his chest? But at the end of the day, he didn't play in the game. He's arguably their best defensive player. If not their best, he's probably their second best. And they still won. Dallas, despite having no defense whatsoever, they really didn't pressure Jalen Hurts the whole game. They went in a two deep shell. And they were pretty much, you're not going to pass it. You can run it, though. And they did. And he did. I was impressed with how Coach Schottenheimer got his guys to play. I felt like for a Thursday night game in Philadelphia, home opener, defending champs, they were in the game. And they didn't let anything really deter them. I mean, they played the Eagles tough. I mean, they scored. They went up and down and scored, no problem. And, the second half, you know, this was kind of prolonged, but because of the lightning and everything. But I was very impressed with how Schottenheimer got his guys to play. He had CeeDee Lamb with a lot of drops. You would assume he cleans that up. Javonte Williams seems like he's their guy, right? Seems like he's going to be running the ball, and they're going to give it to him on the 1 and the 2 yard line, and they're going to give it to him in the red zone. You know, we thought this team would be pass heavy. I felt like they had good balance. I felt like they played sound football. Bland really shut down AJ Brown. Devonta Smith really didn't do anything. Kudos to Brian Schottenheimer. He got his guys to play and played well against in that game.
I mean, they really didn't. It turns out they didn't really need Smith or Brown, because Dotson took the top off of that defense.
He did. Like, that's what he's really there for. Yeah, it was just really one play. But I mean, yes, I agree he was there. But they, you know, looking at the defense, if you go look back in the tape, they went in with a mission, and they pretty much said, "You're going to peck us to death. You're going to take underneath. You're not getting any deep passes. Where you want to run the ball, you want to scramble with Jalen Hurts, go for it. But we are not, you know, we're not going to get blown out today."
And ultimately, like, 62 yards for Jalen Hurts, 60 yards for Barkley. Yeah, they couldn't stop him when it came to pay dirt, but to hold the Eagles' rush game to 158 yards. there's something to be said for that. They do need to clean up the red zone because, like, Jalen Hurts was just, like, he had all day. He had all day back there. And he, on his touch, well, one of his touchdown runs, I think it's from the 7-yard line, completely untouched, through, you know, up and through.
Skipping through the funny pages.
Yeah. Absolutely untouched. Just like, huh. Is anybody out here? Am I here by myself? Like, where is everybody? Yeah. Like, there's so much open field. And any concerns I had about the Eagles' offensive line, they're pretty much gone at this point. Now, Dallas traded Micah Parsons. They don't have much of a pass rush. Let's see if there's a team out there that has more of a pass rush and can kind of get in Jalen Hurts' kitchen more and how they react. But you know what? All things considered, like, it was a good showing, a good enough showing by the Eagles. Saquon, like, he got it going a little bit. You know, he may not need to, you know, he may not need to get it going that much. If it's going to, if the game plan is going to be like that, and you have a four-headed monster at this point, you have Shipley getting burned, you have A.J. Dillon getting burned, you just traded for Tank Bigsby, like, you know, to kick return, to be a primary kick returner. And then, as a receiving core, you have Brown, Dillon, Goddard, Mechie, Dotson, like, what the fuck? You know, what the an embarrassment of riches coming out of Philly. But I do wonder if Jalen Carter's presence made this game closer, because you figure a healthy Jalen Carter disrupting that backfield, Javonte Williams is probably not going to be as effective, Dak probably isn't going to be as effective, not that Dak was so effective, you know, he did complete, you know, he completed 21-34 for 188, but you know, that's a pretty pedestrian performance for Dak Prescott. So I wonder if that would have been worse if Jalen Carter could just hold on to his spit and stay in the damn game.
Yeah. Well, we had the highs of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. We had the lows, which were the Miami Dolphins. And the Houston Texans.
And but the Giants, throw it in there.
More disappointing week one performance, the Chiefs' lackluster performance against the Chargers in Brazil, or the Ravens gaggling it up against the Bills Sunday night?
You don't expect Derrick Henry to fumble. You do not expect Derrick Henry to fumble. That being said, the Bills stayed in it. The Bills forced that fumble. And ultimately, they won it on the field goal. The Chiefs just didn't look right. You know? It's exactly what we were talking about. And the Chargers took it to them. And ultimately, like, that level of performance, I understand it's a Friday. You're not accustomed to playing on Friday. You're in a foreign country. All of these things. But this is the state of the NFL today. But you're not going to win as many games as you normally do if you put up that level. I would say it was probably like a C-plus performance, and I'm probably being generous. But they really did. They were not impressive. The Chiefs absolutely were not impressive. And what I appreciated was Coach Harbaugh kind of unleashed Justin Herbert a little bit. Yes, it's a run team, but Herbert definitely got his fair share of passing in. It was a little bit more balanced than usual. And Omarion Hampton's an interesting cat. I'm surprised he got the start over Najee Harris. And I want to see more of him. I know he was one of your green lights in fantasy last week. And I was definitely, he's a bigger back. He seems like a thicker back. And he's, you know, he's got some good acceleration. He's bursting through the hole. I definitely want to see more of him. Ultimately, like, I can't say that the Ravens were too disappointed. They put up 40. More often than 40. Not, 40. They put up 40. Most days, that's good enough to win. most days, when King Henry doesn't fumble, that's good enough to win. So I'm going to say expectations versus reality. I'm going to say the Chiefs is more lackluster because the Ravens put a fucking 40. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the Kansas City game was lackluster from a Kansas City Chiefs perspective, right? Because Herbert lit it up. I mean, he was three touchdowns, over 250 yards passing. He looked like Joe Montana out there, and we know that he's not. right? And then I also want to see more of Hampton. It's not just because he's on my fantasy team. It's also because, you know, he's a bigger back, and it's fun to watch. Oh, geez. It's fun to watch him kind of play and to get him into a groove. But the Kansas City Chiefs were giving it to them. We're just giving it to Herbert. So, like, all right, we're just going to drop back and throw it here. He'll hit everybody on this team, even the guys that can't really catch. You know, from
hell of a game for Quentin Johnston, by the way.
The guy is terrible. The guy can't catch, man. He can't fucking catch. He dropped one in the end zone, too. He could have had another touchdown.
Yeah,
Kansas City is going to have to figure it out. I think I read a stat where out of their front four, let me see if I have it. It's a really good stat. Give me 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to look at it like friendly fire. Xavier Worthy gets knocked out by Travis Kelce. Like, this is the worst case scenario for a team that's already kind of thin at the wide receiver core because Rashi Rice is out with a suspension. Because so you know,
so we had Charles and Minhew, Mike Dana, and Derek Nandi combined for 68 pass rush snaps. They also combined for a 0% win rate.
Huh.
That's not going to win you football games.
No.
That's not going to win you football games. So what are you going to do? You know, they had Karloftis rushing off the end. But if he's going up against a, you know, a 315-pound tackle, he doesn't have a chance. Like, you know, he can get the edge around him, but ultimately that person's going to manhandle him, especially if he's tired.
I think Karloftis had 3 defensive penalties in the first quarter, if I remember correctly.
And then Chris Jones wasn't taking the right angle on that last play and ultimately cost them the game, which made Drew Tranquil get really upset because he was playing his heart out, Drew Tranquil. You know? So I'm just curious to see what they're going to do this weekend against the Eagles. They're not getting a break here. I mean, it is their home opener. So you would think there's a little bit more juice in, you know, in the locker room and on the field for this game. But even Travis Kelce, he still looks slow. You think this is his last year and you think you're going to get a spark from him. But no, he only caught like 2 passes and 1 was a touchdown. But they're going to – and Rashee Rice is out. Xavier Worthy got hurt. So it's just like I don't really know what to make of it. And then –
what did and I text then, you? What did I text you on Friday?
What?
In real time.
I don't remember. What
the
was it?
Chiefs should trade for Tyreek Hill.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, that guy right now, he looks like he might be getting on the commissioner's list because his ex-wife is saying that he abused her.
Oh, Jesus
she's bringing
Christ.
She's bringing charges on him. The Miami Dolphins situation, another story. Yeah, I do want to take a little time just to talk about the Ravens real quick. You know, a person said something very interesting to me yesterday. They said, bad teams find a way to lose. Good teams find ways to win. And he said that in talking about the Ravens. And he automatically dismissed them from any kind of chances that they have to get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl just off of that game against Buffalo. You're up 15, and you got arguably one of the most electrifying players in the sport. You've got a top 5 running back. You had what looked like a top 10 receiver in that particular game, and you shit the game away. You found a way to lose that game, and then you don't go for it on the 4th-and-3. Like, what are we doing here? And said John Harbaugh has now blown 17 double-digit second-half leads. That's not good, man. That's not good.
He gets tight.
In big moments, he gets tight.
I'm not worried about the whole, oh, they get the tiebreaker, so, you know, the AFC Championship game will be in Buffalo. I'm not really concerned with that aspect of it. I just saw a team that, you know, you were better than for four quarters, really, and you let them win the game. You let them win the game, you know? So for me, I that would be my – that would be the thing that I would – think was concerning to me. But as far as lackluster, that'd be the Kansas City Chiefs, because if you think about it, Z, you sign up for Buffalo versus Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would sign up for that for an AFC championship game. You'd sign up for that for a division, for a round one division game. I want to see two guys just going back and forth. And yes, we don't like people scoring 40 points and that what have you, but they're electrifying players, right? We like watching Josh Allen. We like watching Lamar Jackson. I can't say that about the Chiefs anymore, right? There's nothing exciting over there. Yeah, I think Mahomes is a good player and he's a good quarterback, and what he's done the last couple of years is very impressive, and they might very well be there at the end. But am I signing up to watch him play the Eagles again? No. Am I signing up to watch him play the Rams? No. So that's just where I am with the Chiefs right now.
No, that's fair. And, you know, you saw Lamar Jackson get pushed back all the way to the 10 and then turn it on, accelerate, and then end up with a 15-yard gain. You're not seeing that from Patrick Mahomes. Like, at this point, he's just about sliding out of protection and just kind of like shuffling. Like, he doesn't run. He doesn't look like he sprints. He looks like he shuffles. And just, there's just the way about him, it's like, it doesn't look like he's comfortable. It looks like he's, you know, feeling the effect of all those foot injuries. You know, how many times are you going to have some sort of nagging foot or ankle injury before it kind of catches up to you, you know? And he did truck that one defender, but,
yeah.
You know, he looks slower. The team in general just looks slower. And they need to figure out this wide receiver issue, because that is something they're not going to be able to come back from. Yes, like, if Travis Kelce is just going to be, like, Mr. Goal Line, I think you can get away with that, but then you got to play Noah Gray. Like, if he's got to be on the field more.
Or Watson.
You know, you have three tight ends on that team that are quality tight ends. So you definitely, you know, you got to make some adjustments. And in personnel, Tyquan Thornton is not going to cut it for you. Like, because he's now your three. You know? You need more. You absolutely need more if you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But speaking of needing more, we are a New York sports show, so I suppose we should talk about the local football. The Giants struggle to protect Russ and things and get things going, so they lost to the Commies 20-6. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones lit up the Dolphins, going 22-29 for 272 and three total touchdowns. So maybe he wasn't the problem after all.
Well, I think he fits really well into what Shane Steichen was doing over there. What I learned is, from that game, is the Dolphins were really bad. Like, we thought we knew how bad it was. Nah, we didn't know how bad it was. It's really bad. I think McDaniels looks like he'll be the first one to get fired. I think the Battle of Waterloo is this weekend down in Florida, where he's playing the Patriots. I mean, he's pretty much got to win that game to win the fan base back, right? Because I think everybody else in the NFL has kind of written them off after that awful game where they lost by more than 30 to a terrible cult team. So he's got to win this game to win the fan base. If he doesn't win this game, I think anything's on the table, right? And I agree with you, kind of like what we were talking about before. Trade Tyreek. Tear it all down. I would assume that that's where we're going here. We're going into a teardown. Because we figured out Tua's thing, you know, and the Colts were pretty blatant when they said it. We just took away his first read because we knew he has to get it out quick. So we took that away, and now what are you going to do? Panic. Shit.
And tuck and cover.
And tuck and cover because he can't take a hit and can't. You got to throw the ball away. Like, it's a lot of quick decisions need to be made there. And it just, you know, we saw it on Hard Knocks. I think Mike McDaniels is a very interesting person. I think he has really great schemes and great ideas from an offensive standpoint, but you got to have the respect of that locker room. And I don't think, you know, even in watching him talk last season to the team, some of the things he brought up is like, nobody respects you, man. And you're kind of just letting the players do whatever they want to do. That's why Jalen Ramsey's out of there. Tyreek Hill's going to be out of there. Like, it just doesn't work. You've got to command that locker room. You've got to get the respect of these guys. They don't respect you. And you can go, you'll go back to join Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan on the sidelines for the 49ers. And it just might be the best thing.
Get some more people hurt.
Yeah, it just might be the best thing for you, you know. But I just think that the Dolphins situation is bad. I think Daniel Jones is going to be okay. I think it's the best situation for him. Okay? He can't go from like playing for Duke to like then being the number one quarterback taken in the draft and playing for the Giants. Now coming out of the fourth or the fifth round or even the sixth round and making your way to becoming the starting quarterback of the Colts, that sounds about right for you, buddy, and I hope you do really well there. You know, and as far as Russ is concerned, Russ looked old. He looked old. He looked washed. He looked like the same Russ we saw at the end of the season last year in Pittsburgh. And that's what I was telling you. Is like, there has to be a reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers said, no, don't want you back and don't want you back. We'll fucking try it out with Aaron Rodgers. We think we can win games with him, which they did. So I just think the Russ thing, you know, you felt the need to come out right away and say that he's starting next week. I think it's time for Jackson Dart or even Jameis Winston. It's not the way to go.
So let's talk about the Dolphins first. Since you invoked the Dolphins, they are fucking done, man. Like, it's amazing to me how that all fell apart just so quickly. Tua, he just cannot. He cannot progress through a play. And he's also, you figure, it's in the back of his mind. He's like, is this next one the last one? So, I mean, with the amount of concussions that he's had, he has to think that way, right? Like, even his mom is scared for him. And he's like, she's on record about how she's scared for her son. So, like, that's the level of concern you should have for Tua's health. 3 sacks, a touchdown, 2 picks. Not good at all, right? Nobody posted. Achan didn't post. Tyreek Hill, 4 for 40. And then the allegations coming out later, you know earlier this week. Jalen Waddle didn't show up, 4 for 30. Just nothing.
He was hurt. He got hurt in the game and then came back.
An abysmal fucking performance. Abysmal. Abysmal.
There's nobody on the defense. Who's playing defense?
Minka Fitzpatrick is the only one that I can think of, but, you know, six
he's
tackles.
Another one that's going to be gone. He's going to be gone.
I mean, there was nothing to write home about for the Dolphins. I mean, if you want to take into account that Zach Wilson was 5 for 8, sure, you do you. But, they just didn't post. So if the Colts didn't take advantage of that, that would be very disappointing. Now, it was a good performance from Daniel Jones. We've seen this before from him. As a Giant, we've seen this before from him. Don't be fooled, Indy. I'm going to tell you right now, Indiana Jones, it's a mirage. In a couple weeks, he'll be tripping over his own feet, and he'll spike himself on the ground. Like, that is Daniel Jones. That is who he is. Like, he is, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick at its core. Good for a couple weeks, and then what the hell are we doing? There you go. So,
could he be this year's Sam Darnold?
Not in the system. KOC is
what do you
not,
mean? Why not?
Shane Steichen is not in the same stratosphere as KOC.
He doesn't have to throw 30 touchdowns, but he could run for 10.
Still not good enough.
He could run for 10 and throw for 25.
How many picks is he going to throw?
12.
How many fumbles is he going to have?
5.
He already has 50 for his career.
He's going to have 5. He'll lose 5 this year. He'll lose 5.
Okay, so 5 fumbles lost. How many fumbled?
8 or 9.
Need I say more about Daniel Jones?
They might win the division.
No.
The way they played yesterday.
Stop it.
Did you watch the Texan game? Did you watch that garbage? Did you watch that garbage? They got Nick Chubb running the football, man. Damian Pierce is a healthy back, and he's the backup. Chubb on his third fucking knee is their lead back. They can't get the ball to Nico Collins, who's a yard ahead of everybody else who defended him in that fucking game.
And they lost to a team in the Rams that was 17 seconds away from knocking off the Eagles and who you have in the Super Bowl. So just pump the brakes a little bit about the Houston Texans.
But you're a younger team. They came into your place. Matthew Stafford hasn't played all fucking preseason, man. This guy, Puka Nacua, lit them up. Like, come on. Where are you guys? Hello? You couldn't even score a touchdown? Not even get a touchdown at home? Not even by accident? Come on, man. It's embarrassing. They're playing like shit. And then you have the Colts, who Daniel Jones had more touchdowns than the fucking Texans did.
Okay. Again, let's compare. You have the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all you need to know. The competition is so much higher. The competition is so much better. Indianapolis Colts could have got a better game out of Miami U. They could have gotten a better game out of the U than the Dolphins on Sunday.
We're going to find out a lot about the Colts this week as they play the Broncos.
Okay. Mm. Nick didn't have a great game last week either.
No, he looked like dog shit. That's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy. But Sean Payton figured that shit out early. He was like, all right, we're going to run the ball with everybody. Mm-hmm. Harvey's going to get the ball. Dobbins is going to get the ball. Everybody.
And if Jacksonville plays the way that they played, they have a legitimate shot at the division. Now, again, it boils down to who they're playing on a given Sunday.
They're playing the Panthers. But they have a pretty easy game this weekend too.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals, but then you have the Bucks playing the Texans. You think it's gonna get you think it's gonna be easier next week for the Texans? You think playing the Bucks is easier?
Bucks didn't look great against the Falcons. And we have no great.
Whoa, hold on. Didn't look great. Drake London couldn't get the ball. Their leading receiver was Bijan Robinson out of the backfield. You can't.
I said the Bucks didn't look great. The offensively, they didn't look great. They looked okay. Okay is good enough to win them that division. You need to be okay. That's all you need to do. To win either South Division, you just need to not be terrible.
I was talking about the Bucks' defense that fucking shut down Atlanta and made them one-dimensional. You want to score, you're going to have to go through this little fucking running back, and you're going to have to throw him the ball because you ain't running the ball with him on us. He had 27 yards rushing.
And now
the Texans are going to play the Bucks. You think that's what I'm trying to say? Like, what you think it gets easier? You go from the Rams to the Bucks. That's easy. It ain't gonna get easier. They'll get easier when they play in division games. But I'm just trying to say, like, I thought if you looked at the Colts, I know the Colts were playing the Dolphins. I get it. I know. But we've seen Daniel Jones play like shit against bad teams. Okay.
We've seen him play even worse against good teams.
We also seen him go into Minnesota and beat a playoff team.
That
I haven't
team,
seen Stroud do that.
We are on record that Vikings team was a paper fucking tiger.
You're a paper tiger.
No, I'm a legit tiger. Unlike that fraud of a team. unlike that fraud of a team that could not put away the Giants. They were a front-running team. And what happened? They got exposed. And then the next week, the Giants got their asses handed to them by Philly. So, they played a legitimate team. So, that's the thing. Legitimate teams are coming down the pipe. Do not count on the Dolphins. You talked about the Ravens and how, the Ravens are eliminated. The Dolphins, just stop. You can forfeit the fucking season. You can forfeit the fucking season if you're the Miami Dolphins. As far as the Giants go, let's go back to the original question. Let's tie it together in a nice, pretty little bow. Daniel Jones was a problem. He was not the problem. Saquon's health was a problem. It was not the problem. Brian Daboll's lack of offensive creativity after week one of his first season was a problem. It's not the problem. The Giants have yet, and it was 21-6, by the way. I erroneously said 22-6. Excuse me. The Giants have yet to fix the offensive line. You cannot establish any sort of offensive rhythm. You cannot be successful without a quality offensive line. And Russ is an example of it. Russ is the latest victim of that. Russ, at this point in his career, needs to be a pocket passer. He needs a clean pocket. Right? Russ was also the leading rusher, mind you. You can't establish a run game when you have a porous offensive line. Andrew Thomas, dude's always fucking hurt. Evan Neal was a bust. Schmitz sucks. I'm going to say it right here. John Michael Schmitz, you suck. So, they keep trying. They bring in Illuminor. They bring in Runyon. They bring in veterans. And they can't fucking fix it. It doesn't matter who comes in here. The Giant offensive line is putrid. So, until they fix that offensive line, it doesn't matter if it's Jackson Dart. It doesn't matter if it's Jameis Winston. It doesn't matter if it's Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody going to be able to command this offense until they fix the fucking offensive line. And I felt for Russ. Because Russ felt everybody around him was like, oh shit. How many times did Russ have to do that? And, I get the under pressure and how he was abysmal. Well, you need to be on your spot to actually, make an effective throw. So if you're constantly running and you're constantly being chased, yeah, your throws might sail a little bit. Malik Nabers caught a couple, but a lot of them were behind the receivers. They were up in the air. And, you need a ladder to get some of them. Why? Because he was off his spot, because he is now, at this point in his career, a pocket passer. Now, to go to Brian Daboll. I understand that it was the preseason. Where is the offensive creativity now when the games count? Design bootlegs, like all that. Where is it now when the games are on, when the lights are on bright and the games count? Why aren't you doing that shit? Why aren't you trying something? Instead, the vanilla plays come out. That's what preseason's for. Preseason is the vanilla play. Get creative. You were hired because of your creativity and your ability to develop Josh Allen. Well, you ain't developed anybody, and you have seemingly lost all your creativity. So, you're coaching for your job. Everybody knows you're coaching for your job. At some point, you're going to go to the kid. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up playing the second half against the Cowboys. But until they fix the line, which I thought they had I thought they did a better job of that. You bring in veterans like Runyon. Illuminor's not terrible, right? I was looking, because I was preparing myself for this Daniel Jones conversation. I looked back to the only season where he played all 16 games. It was that year they were in the playoffs. You had Evan Neal at right tackle before he stunk. And you had John Feliciano on the line. You had a veteran presence, and then you had a rookie in Evan Neal. That was the last time that line was any good. Six years ago. 6 fucking years ago. And as a Giant, I'm a Giant fan who remembers Chris Snead and Sean O'Hara and Rich Seibert and Kareem McKenzie, this pisses me the fuck off. How have you not gotten it right? How have you not walked into a guy at this point? Talk to them. Talk to Snead. Talk to O'Hara. They can probably tell you. They can probably give you their blocking schemes. It can't be worse. It can't be worse than this, because this is abysmal. Absolutely fucking atrocious.
Meanwhile, the Jets offense went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, but fell short 34-32 thanks to Chris Boswell's field goal at the end of the game. No such thing as a moral victory, but what positives can you take away from that game? I guess you're asking from a Jet perspective.
From a Jet perspective, Justin Fields had a solid game, only 6 incompletions, 218 yards, a tutty. You know, no picks, so something to be, that last play was not a pick, so, you know, the Jalen Ramsey play. So he just batted it down against Garrett Wilson. You had a decent game from Breece Hall. You'd like to see Breece Hall in the end zone. That's great that he was in the, he was, you know, that's great.
143 total yards.
143 total, 107 on the ground. Fields sniped two of his rushing touchdowns, so good. Braylon Allen seems to be your goal line back. He seems to be the guy. Garrett Wilson had a decent game, so you have some pieces to build with. Defensively, you gave up 34 points.
Yeah. To Aaron Rodgers.
To Aaron Rodgers, who was trying to prove
a point. And a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah. So, that's the one.
Prove a point.
You're right. He was out there trying to prove a fucking point. And he said as much in the post-game press conference. He said, I just wanted to beat anybody associated with the New York Jets. Motherfucker, this is your doing. So, how, what? Are you going to punch a mirror? Dude, this was all your fucking fault. And to have the audacity because Aaron Glenn didn't want you back. Boo fucking who?
Well, I would have just been more upset that I had to take the plane all across America.
For 20
you
minutes.
You tell me that you didn't want me back. We could have handled this in a text, dude. Like, I need to fly here.
That's fair. I understand that you felt slighted, right? That Michael Jordan thing, I took that personally. But you know what? At the end of the day, how many times did you hold the Jets over a fucking barrel? So shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Now, defensively, atrocious. 34, inexcusable. Yeah, that Chris Boswell made a 60-yard field goal. Okay, you know. But, you take out the 60-yard field goal, you still gave up 31. You still gave up 30 fucking one. Come on now. So, they definitely need to clean something up on the other side of the ball.
And that's supposed to be Aaron Glenn's bread and butter, right? That's
right.
Why we're
right.
You're the D guy. Defensive coordinator. Yes.
Exactly.
Couldn't
you
stop
know,
fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Couldn't stop a nosebleed. It was absolutely ridiculous.
He threw 4 touchdown passes.
And in reality, it probably should have been 34-33, but Aaron Glenn decided to go for 2 after there was a penalty on the extra point on one of the touchdowns. So, you know, granted, yeah, okay, 34-33. You lose by 1 instead of 2. So, is what it is. The fallacy of the predetermined outcome. But, you know, like those little things that Aaron Glenn kind of needs to learn on the fly, and you just kind of have to learn as you go. But you know, offensively, you got to be really happy. You have to be really impressed with what they brought over from Detroit, because this offensive coordinator was under Ben Johnson last year, and it looks like night and day with arguably a worse quarterback. Right? Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields, arguably. Justin Fields is less than Aaron Rodgers. Yes, he's younger, but talent-wise, you would still go with Aaron Rodgers. And for him to put up 32, you have to say that the Jets are trending in the right direction, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, that's so nice that you're appealing to our Jet fan audience. I am way more bullish than you. Z, I just think in 2025, the National Football League, you have to be able to drop back on third down and deliver a pass for a first down. And I didn't see that over the weekend. I saw them run the ball on third and nine and get the first down and get it. I saw them on third and six run the ball and get the first down. That's great. Good job. You definitely fooled TJ Watt and company, who were fucking coming because they thought you were going to be throwing the ball like every other fucking team in this league does. And you tricked them and you ran it. I just don't think it holds up over a 17-game season. I don't like the way they're utilizing their backs. Braylon Allen is good, and he's probably a good short yardage guy. But you got to give Breece the rock. Let him be the guy. Let him be the workhorse. And this, I have Braylon Allen on my team, but that doesn't mean anything to me. You have to let Breece get going and keep feeding him. Make him punish the other team. And you've got to be able to throw it to somebody other than Garrett Wilson. Alan Lazard was a healthy scratch. What the fuck? Why? Why is he a healthy scratch? Who is the other receiver? Who, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Did they throw the ball to the tight end, Taylor? I don't even think he got the ball.
Maybe once or twice.
So
nothing earth-shattering.
Like, that Pittsburgh defense, they said is all like the best defense Pittsburgh's ever had. That's not true. But at the same token, the Bills are coming. The Bills are coming in this weekend. The Bills are coming. I think they're playing in. No, they got to be playing. They got to be playing here.
Mason Taylor, one catch for 20 yards.
It's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. Let me see where they're. I just want to see where they're playing. They're playing here. The Bills are coming to town, okay? You've got to come up with something else. This isn't the NFC North. This is the AFC East. It's nice that he was a disciple of Ben Johnson, and you want to use some of those offensive tricks and trades and gadgets and gizmos and whatever. That's fine. But you've got to be able to come up with something better on third down. And let him scramble. I didn't feel like he. I felt like he wanted to go, but he didn't go. And you've got to utilize that aspect of it. Be efficient. He's very efficient. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's been doing that for 2 years now. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't throw interceptions. That's great. But we need you to be a playmaker, okay? Because when the Buffalo Bills are beating you 14-3, what the fuck are you gonna do? Because that was the problem, right? You didn't. You were never in position to put them away, and you should have been. They're trotting out there a 42-year-old quarterback who just got there. Their best receiver is DK Metcalf, and he's dropping passes all over the place. They don't even have a running back. Warren was taking most of their snaps at running back. Johnson was supposed to be their guy. He lasted all of like two carries. So, no, I'm bullish on it. I thought I watched trash. It was cute. It made it look nice that they were in the game and made it exciting and, you know, what have you. But if that game's played in Pittsburgh, it's a fucking romp. It's a romp.
If this game was played last year with Aaron Rodgers under center, it would have been a romp. The Steelers would have kicked the shit out of the Jets.
Yeah.
So to say that this isn't an improvement, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. Because Aaron Rodgers didn't do much as a Jet. Let's be real here. He had one hot month at the end of the season last year.
But see, he was coming off of an Achilles tear at 40 years old. I mean, can he get a break?
No. You want to know why he can't get a break? Look at the path of destruction that he left in his wake. No, you don't get to do all of that to the organization and then get grace. Sorry. You don't get to dictate terms and then when things don't go your way, you don't get that. No, you don't get to be a prick.
And let's flip the script a little bit. If Aaron Rodgers was on the Jets yesterday and Justin Fields was on the Pittsburgh team, who wins?
Steelers. Still. nowhere near 64 points combined.
Like a 2013 game?
Somewhere like 2013. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Garrett Wilson would not have been a factor. Because Garrett Wilson was not a factor. Lazard would have dressed.
75 yards in his touchdown?
95, I think.
All right, so he was a factor.
If Aaron Rodgers, you're saying he wouldn't have been a factor. He wouldn't have been a factor. Would not have been a factor if Aaron Rodgers was under center for the Jets. So, at the end of the day, it needed to happen. The Jets finally showed a backbone, and they did what they needed to do.
And giving up 34 points, they showed a backbone?
They showed a backbone by getting rid of a guy that totally turned your team upside down. And for what? And for what? Nothing. You got Ugats is what you got out of it. You were the laughingstock of the league yet again. Yet again.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, you really care about what's under your hood.
Well, we move on to college as Bill Belichick won a football game on Saturday.
Oh, wet my pants.
But that's not why we're bringing him up again. UNC football has banned all Patriots staff from accessing the program. So much for NFLU. So how much longer does Chapel Bill have in Chapel Hill?
Not much longer. I mean, come on now. The whole point of this was that you were going to bring an NFL caliber program to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with the goal being to get these players, right? These 70 players that you brought in on your name, you traded on your name and your legacy in order to get these kids to come in, right? Same thing with Deion, right? Deion traded on his name. He traded on his professional legacy as a player, not a coach. Because at that point, okay, maybe at Jackson State, right? Because he had, prior to Colorado, he was at Jackson State, not exactly a big program. Bill Belichick was at the New England fucking Patriots. Right? He built a dynasty along with Tom Brady.
Pretty big deal.
Pretty fucking big deal in the NFL. So you traded on that to get these 70 kids to come to Chapel Hill. And yeah, you beat up on an inferior program. And what happened when you faced a team that was better than you? Game one. Game one happened, where you didn't belong on the field. And then this petty bullshit about how you're going to ban all Patriots staff. Okay, they won't draft your fucking players now. Oh, wait a minute. Drake May went to the University of North Carolina, did he not? So does that mean you no longer have access to Drake May? Like in an alumni situation? Because two can play this game. Right? It's just petty and stupid. And he's going to wear out his welcome sooner rather than later. He's going to take his son with him. And then Michael Lombardi's going to have to figure out what the hell to do. Because this organization is finding new and different and exciting ways to embarrass themselves. So the NFL stood for not for long, right? So Bill Belichick, not for long in college.
Well, he says that, you know, he's banning them from his facility and because they are not allowing him in theirs. Is that fair?
Why is he going there? Don't you have something to do? Shut up! Like, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to go see Tom's statue or something. I don't know.
It's outside! You guys have to go in? It's outside! Bill, you're running out of things. You're running out of arguments here. I mean, he'd be more welcome in Vegas.
If they really banned him from the facility, then I don't have any problem with him banning them from his.
Can we confirm that?
Well, I have to ask somebody. I don't know. but that's what I heard. And if that's the case, well, fuck you. You can't come here either, assholes, you know? But the thing,
come to my birthday party. Fuck you.
the problem we're having, though, is that, you know, in college, it's supposed to be about the kids, right? You're supposed to be helping these guys get to the next level. And if you're not allowing Patriot Scouts or any scouts into the building, that doesn't really help them.
No.
And we talked about this offline. It's like, I wouldn't want my son to play there. I wouldn't want, you know, my kid to be coached by Bill Belichick and go through this whole nameless process of, you know, playing in college football where, you know, all I really have to go on right now is my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get to the next level with my name. And you don't give that kind of credit post game or prior to games. And I don't even get if it's even in a fun atmosphere. College is supposed to be fun. You look at, you know, there's the Nick Sabans of the world, of course. But you look at Kirby Smart and you look at, you know, even in Alabama now, they're having fun. There's a lot of rah-rah there. It's not a business in that sense. This is college football. You know, this isn't supposed to be the pro level. So there has to be some kind of flexibility. And I don't think he's going to last very long either. He's lucky he got that win. But I thought he was supposed to be a changed person down here. You know, they're doing the Hard Knocks, and I just thought it was supposed to be, like, much more of a... We were supposed to see the softer side of Bill Belichick. We were supposed to see the side that can adapt to change. But if you're trying to get back into the league, or maybe he's going to go to the Dolphins. Maybe that's the whole play. Maybe he's going to go to the Dolphins after all this.
Zach Wilson's our quarterback. We like Zach.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Tyreek is fine. No. I mean, if that's his exit strategy, then, you know. Or, I mean, we already know he's not going to end up in Dallas. So, like, I don't know. They believe in Shoddy.
The other rumor I heard is Gruden to Miami.
I don't know if I could see that. They do need a hard ass to kind of replace, you know. They need to go in the complete opposite direction of Mike McDaniel. So you can't get more opposite of Mike McDaniel than either Bill Belichick or John Gruden. So, I don't know. That's a tough one.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Well, over to the diamond as the Mets demoted Kode Senga to the AAA in an attempt to reboot their once promising star pitcher. What's more shocking is that Senga, unlike Ali Perez all those years ago, accepted the demotion. How can Senga salvage his season, and what should the Mets do with him come playoff time? I think they're getting pounded by Philly right now.
Yeah. Sean Manaea is another one you can launch into the fucking sun. Like, at this point, it's 7-2. It was 4-0 after 2. And he's throwing meatballs up there. He's throwing absolute meatballs. He hasn't been this.
Get him out of there. He's throwing grapefruits out there.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Lou!
What do you think? I said, what do you think?
Well, he's battling.
They are battling. That's the problem. They're battling for
They're laboring. They're not battling. They're
Christ Almighty.
Laboring.
San Francisco is in the rearview mirror here.
They are. We can see them. Like, you know in Jurassic Park when you're driving the Jeep and you can see the fucking T-Rex in the rearview mirror? That's the Giants right now.
Must go faster. Must go faster. Must go faster. Yes. That's what the Mets are right now. And the reason why they must go faster is because their starting pitching has been horrible. And it starts with two guys up top. Manaea has been awful this year. He cannot give you length. And when he goes through the second time in the order, he gets bombed. And in this case, he didn't even make it. He barely made it through the first part of the order.
They're hammering the slow crap.
Strain your arm, throw a fastball. I'll throw it, make sure you catch it.
Well, if it ever gets to me.
That's where the Mets are right now. And Senga, I don't know if he's tipping his pitches. I don't know if he's still hurt. I don't know what the deal is. Everything looks slow. Everything
so who's
looks
the
like,
number one? Who's
it looks
the
like
number
slow
one?
Pitch softball, dude.
Who's the number one going into the playoffs?
Peterson?
They are gonna make the playoffs, right?
San Francisco is in the rearview mirror, man. San Francisco's got to catch the Mets. And if they're playing like this, no. Absolutely not. And, oh, okay. So I'm 10-2 Tigers, by the way. I'm keeping an eye on that. Jesus
Christ. There's a fucking rape and pillage going
what
on right now.
What is going
they can't
on?
Even, they can't even get the ball over the fucking plate. They New walked York. In two runs. The wild pitches all over the place. This Fun guy just hit a bases clearing triple.
This is going to be a long September between football and the pennant race, the playoff baseball. Yeah, this is going to be a long fucking month. You have to be enthused about what you've seen from Nolan McLean yesterday, notwithstanding. It ended up only being 1-0. But he's been exceedingly good. Tong had a good first start. Mediocre second start. Sproat, what used to be a quality start, you know, 4-5 ERA, 3 runs, 6 hits, 6 innings. Right, that's fine. You ask me who the one is. David Peterson. It's got to be David Peterson. And he's having trouble getting through 6 innings now. You can't start Clay Holmes in a playoff game. Who's in back of him? Because he can give you 4. So is it a combination of Holmes and Manaea? Is that what it is?
What about this new kid?
Sproat? McLean. You're going to have to. It's going to be like a Rick Ankiel situation. Like, you've been here for 6 weeks and now you're starting to fuck the playoff game. Welcome to the show. So, the best thing for the Mets, he needs to get back on track. He hasn't been on track seemingly for a very long time. Right? Last year, they rushed him back to pitch against the Dodgers. Yay, good job. And he looked like crap then. He got hurt again this year. He's mechanically off. And then you start throwing like an Iron Mike pitching machine. Like everything looks slow and everything looks right over the plate. The ghost fork ain't forking well. I can't even with any confidence say shorten him and bring him out of the pen. I can't speak to any confidence about that. They need him to get right. They need him to get right in a hurry because, you know, when he's right, he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
Oh, you're too kind.
When he's right. He hasn't been right in 2 years. And that's the fucking problem. Billy Ritter hit a 3-run homer off. Guy's been in the majors 10 years, never hit a home run. Never? That's where the Mets are right now. That is where the Mets are right now. They're giving it back. They're in the process of giving it back to San Francisco. They still have time. They still have time. But you got to lean on the kids at this point. You got to lean on the kids who are probably up against their innings limits too. So this is going to be very interesting. I wonder what's going to happen in the offseason. Heads are going to roll. Decisions are going to be made. the pitching lab, because they decided to like kind of experiment with Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas, who's out with Tommy John, right? They need to get in a big market. They need to get in on a pitcher, a legitimate pitcher, a real fucking starting pitcher. Sean Manaea, after last year, you thought you had something there. You buy low. Nope. Didn't work. Not one pitching decision worked this year. Ryan Stanek has been an abomination. Like, at the end of last year, seemed okay. Right? He was a reclamation project. Seemed okay. And now you have to worry about Edwin Diaz. He's a free agent. What are you going to do there? You can't let him walk. Because who's going to close? Brooks Raley? Stanek? Oh, Helsley! Right! Helsley.
Cue the music.
God fucking damn it. Now I'm in a bad mood.
Cranky Jerry.
I hate this fucking song. Oh.
Is that damn song again? It's the fifth inning.
Oh my god. But that's where we are with the Mets. It's absolutely, absolutely brutal. And they better wake the fuck up if they have any aspirations, because, yeah, seven Met fans remember seven games with 17 to go. Met fans remember that. And it's very close to happening again.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, the Philly Karen.
What's your take on this story? I vaguely understand it. Basically, Harrison Bader, right, hit something into the crowd, and then she stalked after whoever got the ball and made them give the ball to her, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And she's a little bit of a crazy person, and apparently Bader was nice enough to meet up with the fan and give them a bunch of other stuff to make it all right?
100%.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely foul, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some people just are a little nutty when it comes to their team, and she fits that bill. So definitely foul. I'm glad that the fan got, you know, some stuff from local Bader, Eastchester kid, by the way. Yeah, and I'm glad the situation was righted, but definitely Karen is definitely foul.
Fan, behaving badly.
That's cute.
A little something we cooked up for you in the lab here. It's completely foul. It's completely fucking foul. For one, and she makes Zach Hample look good. Zach Hample tries to catch, he's a home run merchant, and he just, like, pushes kids over and shit. You know, like, that, by comparison, this guy, that guy's a saint. But there's a scrum. The guy reaches in, grabs the ball, brings it back to his kid. Okay, seemingly stomping over. They get her on audio about how, you took it right out of my hands. And it's absolutely absurd. And it's Philly on Philly fan crime, too. So it's not even like one was a Marlin fan, one was a Philly fan. No, they were both Phillies fans. Harrison Bader met the kid, I believe, gave him a prize package. The Marlins were mortified by this behavior. The Marlins gave them a prize package. I think Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet said he would buy them World Series tickets.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, like, a whole level, a huge level of embarrassment, and is completely foul. She deserves to get dragged. I don't know if it warrants being fired from your job. I don't know about that. But in the court of public opinion, you deserve to be run through the mud. Sure. Absolutely. Fair or foul number two. Ryan Clark pulling out the player card on Peter Schrager.
Yeah, that was a little odd. That was a little odd. I'm gonna go foul on that. I didn't understand. You know, I don't really like his new job. I don't like his new podcast that he's got going on. I liked him when he was with ESPN. But, yeah, pulling the player card, you gotta chill out, brah.
Completely foul. Completely foul. I mean, it was a bad situation for Schrager to begin with because you're surrounded by Teddy Bruschi, Dan Orlovsky, and Ryan Clark screaming at you. Yeah. So, you know, it's one thing to be on Good Morning Football, right? Nate Burleson seems like a chill dude. These guys are not Nate Burleson. You know, Dan Orlovsky is like foaming at the mouth trying to get his analysis down. Like, he's trying to get that in. And it was way too intense of a moment. And for what? All Schrager was trying to say is that outside those two drops, you can look at the game that CD Lamb had and that he had a better performance than AJ Brown, who was only targeted once. And that's not a wholly untrue statement. Like, that's not something that's crazy. I mean, based on the game, I wouldn't go that far to say it was an unreasonable hot take. I mean, you get one guy who's targeted one guy who's a focal point of the offense.
You don't want to belittle a guy on TV like that. We'd all know he's not a player, you know, and that's the good part of it, right? We want that non-player perspective on the situation. And you're a player. You've been in a locker room. Yeah, we know you know. Okay, but there's an alternate side, and that's why he's there. I'm not a huge Schrager fan, but I'll defend him in the sense that that's why you're there, dude. Like, you do your research just as much as these guys do. You know a lot. You do. He does. He does know his stuff, and he's just given a different perspective. But to belittle him like that, you know, on television, and I heard the spat went on afterwards too on X, where eventually Clark did apologize, but. You know what? We're all professionals, okay? Maybe you're a player, but I'm a journalist, or I'm a broadcaster. And I would never belittle you to the point, well, you're just a player, or you're just a jock, or you don't really know your stuff. Like, you know, that's, you know, when they probably could pull that card, right? I could say some words completely. And you have no idea what they mean, you know? But I'm not going to do that because I'm a professional, right? And you want to take that stuff to your podcast. You want to do that, you know, with good luck getting people to come on your show if you're going to treat people like that.
I agree. Like, that's the one thing. You are trying to make yourself bigger in comparison to somebody else.
It's almost like he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say, and that's why he pulled that card. You know? That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Like, I understand what he was saying, though, is that AJ Brown, like, you could have left it at, you know what, AJ Brown will take the win. Like, he didn't need to go farther. He didn't need to continue. He could have said, AJ Brown, I'm sure, is happy with the win.
Just don't belittle the guy, basically. Like, don't.
And when we look at his apology, like, was it really an apology, right? I regret what happened is not an apology. You know, it's not. Initially, it's, you know, I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. Like, that's an apology. I'm sorry, I embarrassed you.
I'm sorry for being a douche.
Right. I'm sorry I embarrassed you on national television. That's an apology. You know? Saying you regret something, regret is not the same as apologizing for your actions. Like, it's just, they're two different things. And I don't know, like, this is the second time that Ryan Clark has had to issue a public apology since May. So yeah, there's something to be said for that. And I wonder if ESPN's going to sideline him for a little bit. It stands to reason that they would, but now it's football season, and, you know, you're going to lose one of your better talking heads. So ultimately, he's probably, like, the slap on the wrist in the court of public opinion is probably going to be it. Kind of like Jalen Carter's suspension, you know, ejection suspension thing. So, completely big time that guy for no reason. Totally foul. And it's just showed a huge lack of respect for a guy that, you know, yeah, he's kind of goofy. Like, a lot of those guys are. Kyle Brandt is. Kyle Brandt went back at Ryan Clark in a very passive aggressive way over the weekend. So are we starting some shit? Like, is that what's going to happen here? It's going to be like football players versus talking heads? Is that what's happening here?
We going to fight. Step up in the party hot. Hey. Hey.
3 p.m. Fight. 3 p.m. I'm going to fight you. Step outside. I'm going to fight you. Petty high school bullshit. That's all it is. So I'm glad they buried the hatchet, but completely unnecessary and foul.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Inter Miami and Luis Suarez. Narrowly beating out Arch Manning. Narrowly. But when you start a fight and then have one of your best players spit on somebody. Yeah. That takes it home. You know? That takes it home over a bad performance. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
Alright, so first up, I've got your favorite quarterback in the NFL. I got Russell Wilson. Russ didn't have that great of an opening line against the. he didn't have a great day against his opening opponent this weekend. The Giants were beat 20-6, right? That was the final score.
21-6.
21-6. They were calling for Jackson Dart in the second half. But you look washed, Russ. You look washed, man. You can't get out of the pocket. 168 yards passing. You did lead the team in rushing, but that's not your job, man. That's not Woo. Your job.
Woo.
That's not your job. Russell Wilson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. 17 for 37, 168 yards.
Yikes.
Number two, I've got the Miami Dolphins. Man, if you were to tell me, my goodness. Ooh. Oh. They played a game in Indianapolis on Sunday that just should be forgotten. They lost 33-8. And already all the professionals have already shot you down. Okay? They got you coming in last. They got you not going to the Super Bowl. They got you firing your coach. They say if you don't win this weekend against the Patriots, that your coach is gonna get fired. You were literally doubled up in every category. So you had 211 total yards. The Colts had 418. You had 133 passing yards. They had 262. You had 78 rushing yards. They had 156. Nothing went right. Tariq Hill, 4 catches for 44 yards. Dude used to get that on like the opening drive, man. Tua. Oh, God, Tua. We had to bring in Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, who still fucking runs the wrong way, got in this fucking game. The Miami Dolphins, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the Baltimore Ravens. Man, you guys are up 40 to 25. And then a fumble happens. Then you don't go for it on 4th and 3. And you let the Buffalo Bills beat you opening night. That's two opening nights that you're just losing in a row. John Harbaugh's lost 17 double-digit fourth quarter leads, second half leads. We're just Mark Andrews, what happened to you, bruh? Where are you at, bruh? Baltimore Ravens, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
I mean, you can't go wrong with any of those. I mean, Mark Andrews is still kind of, he might still be in last year's game, right, with all the drops.
He
mentally.
I think he had one target, Zeke.
It goes to show you that Likely is probably past him in terms of the depth chart. And if Likely's hurt, you know, Andrews has to step up. Like, what are you going to do? That's the nature. That's baseball, Susan, right? So that's
30 years old.
Yeah. He's probably still got a couple of good years ahead of him, but
not with this team.
Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing. That's the thing.
One reception for 5 yards.
Fuck.
And a team that scored 40 points.
Yeah. Not a good look, but you know, when you have Derrick Henry, like that, you're probably just gonna run the rock until he fumbles, which he never fumbles. He never fumbles, right? Right? Nah. I'm gonna start with Jalen Carter. Like, hocking a loogie on Dak Prescott. Never a good look. His ejection was a suspension, and he had a $57,000 fine. Yeah, no. Like, you spit on me, I'm gonna fight you. Don't do that. No, that's not cool. So, no. Just completely unhygienic. Do better. Control your emotions. Your team sorely needs you on the defensive line. Jalen Carter, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the U.S. men's national team. Losing to South Korea 2-0. looking completely lost on defense, letting Sun Heung-min have his way, hanging Matt Freeze out to dry. No pressure, no hustle back, completely lifeless performance. And then Mauricio Pochettino moving the goalposts again about how the U.S. men's national team is just going to be a tough out and we're going to compete in the World Cup, after he said that they were going to win the World Cup when he took the job. Kind of looks like he's finally seeing what's going on over here, and he doesn't seem to like it. U.S. men's national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yamamoto taking a no-no into the ninth inning, got to 8 2/3. All right, fine. Give up a home run, break up the no-hitter. All is well. We're good. We're good. The Orioles aren't that good. It should be fine. Final score. Guess who didn't win? Oh, yeah. The Dodgers. The Dodgers blew the friggin' lead. And that's all she wrote. How the hell do you go 8 2/3? No hit innings. This is like Andy Hawkins level shit. You're 8 2/3, no hit innings, and lose 4-3. You were out hit 10-3, and all three of those hits were in the bottom of the ninth inning. Tanner Scott looking like an amazing signing. Los Angeles Dodgers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram account at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.